Did you know back in 1845 that Steamboat was actually Texas? And every year for 22 consecutive years, they have sold out Steamboat Music Fest. It's going to sell out again. This is Bree Bagwell inviting you to the coolest music fest in Steamboat, Colorado. It happens every January. You've seen it. Have you not been? What are you waiting for? It is the original Texas Music Festival with over 50 bands in the Texas and Red Dirt music scene. You never know. Kevin Fowler might be just eating lunch next to you one day. With the Steamboat Music Fest package, you get 6 days of mountainside lodging, 4 days of lift passes, one night lift pass. Don't miss out. You're going to have so much FOMO if you're watching on social media. So just go to themusicfest.com, sign up for that email newsletter. You can get on the wait list. You never know. Steamboat Music Fest, down home, up high. Come get real with us. Steamboat Music Fest. Hey, this is Bree Bagwell with Only Vans Podcast, and I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend time worrying about things like taxes and bookkeeping and the IRS. I'm from a family of accountants, so take my word for it. You need someone that is specialized in Texas taxes, and Lakeside Tax and Bookkeeping are pro QuickBooks advisors, and Stacey has been doing this for over 25 years. Girl knows what she's doing, and I just did all my sales taxes. Just trust me, get someone who knows what they're doing to help you. In addition, Stacy is an enrolled agent of the IRS. That sounds fancy because it is, and it means you won't be getting in trouble with the IRS. Go to lakesidetax.com today and sign up with my girl Stacy and get the IRS tax and bookkeeping help that you need.
That's a terrible Kevin Fowler impression, but you know, Kevin, he's like, hey, Migo, yeah, let's do it.
That was good. Clay Hollis actually does have some really good vocal impressions. We can't tell them all on here,
but oh, yeah.
They'd stay between me and my voicemails forever. That is amazing. Fun fact, Carlton Anderson and I were on The Voice together.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I haven't stayed in touch with him except following him on social media and stuff. But
yeah, he lives in Bernie. He has a baby now.
What?
Yeah.
I need to go right with that man.
Hey, everybody, this is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
I think you look great.
I look like I just crawled out of...
You have a Coetzel hat on? You look great.
I can change my hat.
No, I like that hat.
Oh, okay.
Why do people assume that I don't like Coetzel? Coetzel is my friend. I'm going to open a watermelon stand and just stand there so he can come drive by in his tour bus and fund my next record. Did you hear about that?
Something about he bought watermelons for like a bunch of people or something?
He bought like all the watermelons from this one watermelon stand. Like they just pulled the bus over and he bought every watermelon.
Hey, so man, pull the bus over. I'm going to buy
those watermelons. So I think that I'm just going to like open my own watermelon stand and just be like, I'm going to get his routing because I have the rest of this record to pay for. And I think that he would appreciate that. Co's always been very nice to me. Has he been nice to you?
He's nice to me. He's nice to my brother, of course. You know.
Oh, yeah. Your brother works for Coetzel.
Yeah.
I didn't even have that on my list to talk about. He's going to be Coetzel's pilot. Are you sure this is a good idea?
Hey, man, they can, if it's Co's idea, I'm sure it's a good one.
Oh, that's really nice of you to say that. That's like the opposite about how his pyrotechnic team feels about him, but amazing. Well, you love boats and your brother loves planes. Do you have another brother who loves automobiles or something?
No. We just, my brother and I both have always been, if it operates or you can do it or like, you know, whatever it might be, we want to do it.
Okay. So. I believe that about you.
Roller coasters, airplanes, heavy equipment, boats, fast cars, diesel trucks, you name it.
I can see that. What boat did you get off of to come here today?
What boat did I was on a boat yesterday. Yeah. Was down in Port Aransas for Labor Day weekend.
Were you fishing?
And no, didn't get to fish. It was crappy weather, man. But you didn't come to my show, so that's cool.
Listen, you played at the same time as Coda Canada. So we like got out of there, and then right when we were leaving, Coda Canada knocked on the RV to say goodbye. And what am I going to do, not talk to the nicest man that ever existed?
Yeah, no.
So then by the time we got to the RV park, it was supposed to be a pull-through spot. It was a back-in spot. So by the time we got the RV backed in, it was like 11:58, and the bar closed at 12. So I missed your set. I'm sorry. Mm. And then it was hot because we played on an uncovered stage. I think I was overheated.
We'll get through these troubled times, man.
I know.
It's okay.
How was
the show? We had a good show. We had a really good show. That place down in Port A, the Sipyard. There's so many awesome venues to play in Port A now, yeah. But Sipyard's awesome. Yeah, it was a really good crowd, and they have really nice production. And
good.
That's always nice, right? When you go to a place and it's good stage, good lights and sound.
Like Parker McCollum was in Corpus that night. Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw that. I think he was playing at the American Bank Center.
Because, like, I had a good crowd, and you had a good crowd, so I think maybe Port A was just... But my cell phone was also not working on that island because of Labor
There's
Day.
There's terrible service on the island when it's busy.
That's crazy, because I was trying to tell you that I was trying to go there, and I was like, never mind, or just whatever. But I was hoping you would just show up at the RV park and be like... In your big truck and be like, let's go to the bar, Bagwell. That's what you usually do.
Well, I was already at the bar. I was expecting you to walk into the bar. Wow. And yeah, I'm about barred out, man. I'm gonna probably check into rehab or something.
As I give you some whiskey. I was thinking about doing Sober October. Paul and I were talking about it. Have you ever done like a whole month?
Doesn't sound like fun.
It sounds like the worst October I've ever heard of, but it might be something that I need to do because I have like 23 shows in October, something insane.
You strike me as like one of those gals that's going to go through Starbucks to get one of those pumpkin spice lattes, and then you reach in the back and you've got like a mixer and you're going to throw some whiskey in it as soon as you go through the drive-thru at Starbucks. Is that something you'd do?
Well, I can't admit to that because I would be like drinking and
that
driving.
That would be drinking and driving. Well, you don't drive this rig, but let's say like this rig pulls over to Starbucks and I feel like you get a pumpkin spice latte. Bree Bagwell's definitely putting whiskey in that
100%.
Thing.
I have the Devil's River coffee flavored and it's like not up there right now because we're out of it. So where do you think that goes? And I already knew when Starbucks was dropping their pumpkin spice latte. I'm a little basic, but you know what? Like, I like that about myself. It doesn't take a lot to make me happy.
We like that about you, too.
Do you know that I'm allergic to beer now, though?
That's a lie.
No, it's 100% true.
For real?
I haven't had a beer since, like, April.
This whiskey's good.
I know. Isn't it good? I was thinking about what I wanted to talk to you about today, and the first thing that I thought about was that I think we should put you on The Bachelor.
I wouldn't make it. My ADHD would just, like, not... allow me to focus or act right on a show like that. I don't do drama, so like I hate drama, you know. I'm a very no bullshit kind of guy.
Yeah, that's true. I heard that they put a thing in your ear and they tell you what to say. I don't know if that's true.
I would kill myself.
You would not do that.
I would be like, get this out of my ear.
But maybe if there was a Only Vans version of The Bachelor, Kyle. And then we have our first contestant, and it's Clay Hollis.
How about a fishing edition of The Bachelor, and we get these girls out there on a boat and see if they can't fish or not.
And then you like throw them off the boat if they're not.
Yeah, if they suck, then they have to swim back to shore.
Your brother like picks them up on the plane, and then okay, I'm kind of loving this idea. Not that we have to talk about your dating life, but you've just been one of my favorites since I was like. Since you were a tiny little boy.
Oh, I know.
And now you're like a grown man with girlfriends and stuff, and I'm not dealing well with it.
I've known you for now over close to 10 years.
No. Is that true? Yikes. I'm sorry. I was trying to think of... I meant to text you your favorite Brie Bagwell story, but then I thought...
I have so many. I figured we would just talk about them. As we remember them.
No, but I did think one of my favorite stories about you was, I don't remember why we were at Steamboat and we were at a after party at Music Fest. And for some reason I was sitting on your lap and you said something to me and I turned around and spit my whole beer in your face.
I do remember that. I recall that very.
Like, Kyle, we should put that on the Only Vans, Only Fans. And you were so mad at me.
I just said okay.
That was 10 years ago.
That just happened.
Anyway, I love your new song with Jesse Robb. I didn't know you were friends with Jesse Robb Jr.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Jesse and I became, we hit it off a couple years back when I randomly was asked to pick him up at the airport on the way to the Indian Head Trail Ride. And so I picked him up in Albuquerque, and it was like literally he just got in my truck, and it was like, hey, man, nice to meet you. Like, how you doing? And then we just, we were two peas in a pod ever since.
Jesse's great. I love his singing. I love his writing.
I love what he stands for.
Totally.
He's a no BS kind of guy also.
Yeah, I love his wife.
Rachel's awesome.
Rachel's great. Well, that is awesome. So you just filmed that video. It looks like you just had a big party on a boat, and that you didn't invite me, I don't think. Actually,
I did, and you went to Cabo. Yeah, instead. Sorry, I invited you. I tried to get a cameo from somebody out here. You know, we tried to get you. We tried to get John Wolfe.
Yeah.
I tried to get Randall. Randall was like, yeah, I'm in, but then he forgot he was in Cabo. Everyone was in Cabo. That was that same week. So. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, we did. We had a great time. Which is also funny, ironically, so this song with Jesse Robb Jr., Beer's Better on a Boat, Jesse does not drink.
Oh, yeah, this is Clay Hollis, everybody.
By the way.
Sorry, I've been getting, the listeners are like, we don't know who you're talking to till like, the end.
Hey, okay. My name's Clay.
Okay, great. And continue. Okay, sorry.
Well, so Beer's Better on a Boat featuring Jesse Robb Jr. came out back in June. We just dropped a music video to it this past weekend. So, perfect time to close up your summer. And but no, ironically, Jesse is sober and has been for many, many years. So, to get him to sing on a song about drinking beer was just kind of funny because he doesn't drink. So, but we had a great time.
Yeah.
And it's a fun song. We love playing it live. He plays it out live, too. In fact, I just got a call or a video the other day. He was opening for Cody Johnson in Denver. There's like 20,000 people there, and he walks out to that song. Like the band like cranks up Beer's Better on a Boat.
Did you write it with him?
We did. I wrote it with Jesse and then Helene Cronin and Scott Sean White.
Helene and Scott Sean White. Those are two of my favorite writers. Well, and Jesse, three.
And Jesse, yeah.
That's
so the
great.
It was a four-way, and we wrote that on Jesse's writer's trip, and the four of us just sat on that park bench out back of this. We were at a hunting lodge, and out by there was a pond, and we were fishing, and then it was 20 minutes from like Matagorda, so
yeah.
we did all that. And
four people's a lot to write together.
It was, but typically I don't like to do four-way writes, but this was just one of those deals.
Well, they're all pros. Like, those are pros.
And the funny thing is we wrote the song back in 22, so it's already kind of old. Did you burp?
No, it just, like, it sounded like it.
I didn't hear it.
It was just like a, it's fine. Okay, like you wrote it back in 2017.
Sorry. Whiskey. Goddamn.
Whiskey. It reminds me so much of Justin, my bass player, Justin Lusk. Like 8 years ago when we got our first talkback mic, that was the only thing that he used it for. Every time I would bend down to like fix the set list or it was so funny. He still does it. I'm like, that's not what it's there for. Okay, sorry. So you wrote the song in 2017.
No, honey. We wrote it in 22. 2017, Jesus Christ. How much have you had to drink today, huh?
Like, actually, this is like my first one. I don't know. I think I've been doing my taxes since 7 a.m. this morning on about, like, zero sleep. So, but I also feel bad I interrupted you, so then I panicked, and then I just picked the wrong year. It's fine. You're not mad at me.
It's all good.
We're friends. Okay.
We're, so anyway, Beer's Better on a Boat. Love it. It's very fitting for my brand, and featuring Jesse Robb Jr. And yeah, I mean, it's just, you know me. For those that don't know me, I love being on the water. I love fishing. I love boating. But just really anything in the water, lakes, rivers, you name it. If it's the water, sign me up. I'll do it.
Yes. It was the joke of the songwriters retreat. Randall King invited us to a songwriters retreat and me and Clay Hollis were there, and he just said, okay, who wants to go ride a boat song with Clay? Who needs a boat song?
And the fact that everybody ran with it is, I guess it's kind of fitting.
I need to post it to my reels, I don't think. But I didn't know if you would get mad if I posted it.
No, of course not. I don't. You know, that I have like the thickest skin. I was raised by a Mexican mother. So like yeah. I got yelled at for 18 years of my life and other things too. So
your parents are hot.
They're hot.
Well, they're like good looking people.
Like they're good looking people. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. My dad's 66 years old and does not look 66. My mom, I won't give her age out, but she's a very beautiful Hispanic woman. Mm-hmm. That's where I get this darker skin tone, I guess. I turn golden brown in the summer. Yeah. Everyone's like, man, you're Mexican. I go, yep.
Half?
I'm half.
But I speak better Spanish than you.
You do.
But
you
that's okay.
100%.
No, I'm joking. Your dad, I love your dad helped me out with a nice little legal matter. Kyle was a part of that. Well, Kyle was on my team, on our team.
Yeah.
But, somebody was holding my merchandise hostage, and your dad helped me get it back.
Definitely. Yeah, shout out to my dad. He's been my attorney for, like, the beginning of my music career and helps me out with contracts and all kinds of stuff. So it's cool to have a free attorney on a free basis.
That's right.
On retainer.
That's right.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. My dad's an accountant, so I feel that in my soul. Nice to have that sort of.
What do you think? I know.
He just held the microphone up to whiskey. She loves Clay, though. She loves him. So what about this duet with Fowler? Like, how did that come about?
Oh, man.
Are you just duetting with like, fun dudes, and you just don't do duets with fun girls like me? Just
we,
only dudes?
We should. We need to. We'll do a drinking song together. And that, I guess they're another drinking song. Yeah. The
on about a boat. Whiskey on a boat.
You know, this song came... my buddy Carlton Anderson actually pitched it to me, and I was like, man, this is a cool song. I always said that it sounded like a Kevin Fowler song. And I was like, man, Kevin Fowler should sing on this thing. He's like, man, that'd be so cool. I was like, man, I'll just call him and see if he'll do it. And so I called Kevin, and he heard the song, and he's like, hey, man, yeah, sounds good. Sounds great. Let's do it. I'm like, that's terrible Kevin Fowler impression, but... You know, Kevin, he's like, hey, Migo, yeah, let's do it.
That was good. Clay Hollis actually does have some really good vocal impressions. We can't tell them all on here, but
oh, yeah.
They'd stay between me and my voicemails forever. that is amazing. Fun fact, Carlton Anderson and I were on The Voice together.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I haven't stayed in touch with him except following him on social media and stuff. But
yeah, he lives in Bernie. He has a baby now.
What?
Yeah.
I need to go write with that man.
He's a great writer. We write all the time. In fact, we wrote last week with Bernie Nelson.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So we try to write a bunch.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, he was a great singer. The Voice was such an interesting thing, and I kind of got to just meet some nice people, but he was one of them that I thought was just a great singer, great artist. But I didn't know he lives in Bernie now. That's fun. And Logan Tucker moved down here, too.
Logan. Saw Logan Friday night. He came to my show. That was fun.
I didn't come to your show. Are you rubbing it in?
We ended up drinking. Yeah, that all my other friends came to my show except you.
Well, we have to point out that you also did not come to my show.
Well.
Right.
We were playing about the same time.
Yeah, it just didn't work out. But it usually does. Whenever we're in Port A, I go hang out with Clay Hollis and we get in way too much trouble. It's a dangerous place down there.
It sucks you in if you're not careful.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
You got to be careful.
I wonder if, like, did you ever live down there? Or like
during COVID, I was living down there on the boat. Yeah.
Does that become a very small town very fast?
Oh, yeah. Small town drama stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't strike me as a...
But I love Port A in general. And there's a lot of good people there. And then, you know, not to say anyone's bad, but, like, some people just come with baggage and I just try to, like I said, I don't do drama. So I try to stay away from the small town, beach town stuff.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell. And if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Bree Bagwell.
Hi there, my name's Jarrett Reddick. You may know me as Bree Bagwell's very best friend. But I'm also the singer for the band Bowling for Soup. I release country music under my name Jarrett Ray Reddick. I'm the guy that sings the Phineas and Ferb theme song. Oh, and I do a podcast called Rockstar Dad Show. Each week, myself and the drummer for Bowling for Soup, Gary, talk about being dads. We talk to other dads. Sometimes they're rock stars, comedians, actors, neighbors. One time we even had a mom on the show. If you like to laugh, if you're a dad, if you've ever had a dad or ever wanted a dad, this is the show for you. Rockstar Dad Show, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
But I don't live there anymore. I'm in San Antonio.
You do live there.
Yeah, but
I never know where you live. You're kind of like a...
I'm a vagabond.
You are. You're a little mysterious, little troubadour, and you like it that way.
I'm either in my truck or the Sprinter van or...
With my ID, remember?
Yeah, you left your ID in my truck for like a year.
I never found it. I was like, where? I guess I lost it. And then you're like, guess what I just found under the seat?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
What a time.
Sorry. Sorry about that. But wait, are you still recording these songs with Bart Butler or are these different? Where are you recording these?
No, I never recorded with Bart. Bart's
pitched
me.
Why do I think that?
Well, I cut a bunch of Bart's songs. That's probably what you're thinking. But Bart Butler from Hondo, Texas, a Nashville songwriter. Love him.
He produces Midland and... John Party, if you don't know who
John
Bart
Party,
Butler
he
is.
Did all that stuff, and he did a project on Randall at one point.
And Mario, he did a
Mario
bunch of Mario
Flores,
stuff.
Bunch of Gabe Garcia stuff. He's worked with all of us, kind of,
yeah,
in some capacity. But Bart's a great songwriter, and I'm still recording music in Nashville. I'm in between projects right now, but I'm just trying to write music, and then I'll. I don't know. I'm actually shopping around a new producer right now. So
interesting.
I think I'm going to be working with a friend of mine who's been on the mixing engineering side of things. He's never produced before. And so shout out to my buddy Chris, who I think is going to be stepping into that role for us.
That's exciting. That is I think that's a great plan because they kind of know the back end and what they wish that they had, you know, like when they're mixing, they're like, I wish this had more of this, or I wish this had different takes of this. So that might be a really good, that's exciting stuff. But yeah. Where'd you record the last two then?
I did the full length album I did, and these last singles, the Fowler song, the Jesse Robb, I had one called Test Drive, and mm-hmm. then Blue Collar Prayers. It's all from Omni Sound Nashville,
yeah,
which
great.
Of course, it's real sad. Omni's not there. They leveled it like last month or right, I guess here at the end of summer.
I didn't know that.
It is gone.
Oh, that is sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, change in Nashville. You yeah. know how it's going.
Oh, yeah. Sure
Nashville.
Do.
It's crazy for me because I've been going to Nashville for close to 10 years now. My first time to Nashville was in 2015, so I lied, 9 years.
You was a baby. You weren't 21 yet.
No, I wasn't.
I was giving you beer back then or trying.
Yes. And, but yeah, it's just, you know, to see the town grow and just, but continue to write and see people come and go. And then that piece of history for a studio was kind of sad to see that studio go.
Totally.
A lot of people recorded there, but.
I know. That is so sad. I didn't know that.
And really the reason, the worst thing is like that it was like the most affordable place, the most like bang for your buck, if you will, you know, 'cause it was. For an independent artist like us, you know, we don't have label money to help go fund a project. So it was a very affordable place to record music. And I'm sad that it's gone because now wherever we go, it's going to cost a freaking fortune. So.
I know. It's so crazy. I just did 5 songs at the Smokestack. Smoak. It was like the coolest, vibiest studio I've ever seen. It's in Nashville.
Can't wait to hear it.
It was. Yeah, thank you. It was like. I was blown away by how cool that studio was. I also do stuff at Sound Emporium, of course, half a day stuff.
Not that rich.
Well, I just did them in half a day. You can do half day sessions there.
Yeah.
And
a little bit more affordable.
Yeah. And the last time I did it, I was in the smaller studio and then no one was in the bigger studio. So they just like upgraded me, which was super cool. And then the time before that, I was recording next to Robert Plant and Allison Krauss.
How about that?
Just saying. You
just poke
do
your head in and be like, hey, guys, sounds great.
Well, I went out and, like, Allison was, she was so nice. And I was like, because Paul's like a giant Allison Krauss fan.
Yeah.
And he just, like, walked out and, like, grabbed a piece of candy and, like, walked back and, like, didn't even make eye contact with her. It was so cute. I was like, and she was so nice. And Robert Plant was so nice. And he wanted to steal my bandana. And I was trying to get him to pay for it because I was trying to make a record. It's crazy expensive. How are you paying for that? Just gigs?
Yeah.
Like, doing any sort of, like, just crowdfunding or anything, or just
I haven't
live?
Done any crowdfunding. Obviously, I'm blessed with some family members that help me here and there. I have a grandmother that has helped put a few dollars behind production costs for
That's
us.
That's what's up. Does she want to do my records?
Yeah. Hey, Grandma, come here.
Grandma.
Can you check it out? Yeah. Well, I could pay you back in 20 years.
She's like, I'll be 108. That's not fair.
But no, honestly, for the most part, I am a very self-funded artist. Everything from touring aspects to owning my own merch and you know, just budgeting to you know, make content and music videos. And it's, you know, the drill, it's expensive. So, I mean, yeah, I don't have a whole lot of outside help.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't think...
If anyone out there is hearing this and you like me, let's have a conversation.
We're drinking Devil's River. Listen, we could do a sponsorship, a boat sponsor. Like, you should be sponsored by, like, Sperry's. Have you ever reached out to them?
No.
Do you wear those?
I used to in high school, actually.
Oh, is it not cool anymore? I don't know.
Not that it's not cool. I just, I don't.
What do people wear on boats now?
Gosh, I don't, there's all kinds of products out there. Oh. I have a good pair of Columbia boat shoes.
Oh, yeah. That's it. You need to be sponsored by Columbia.
Let's get Columbia. Hey,
dear Columbia.
Dear Columbia. Please
sponsor
me.
Boy, do we have a deal for you.
Boy, do we have a deal.
This giant company. We have this regional artist.
Hey, check out this dude down in Texas.
He's on a few yachts. Yeah. I love a good yacht day. Were you on the boat that I was trying to think of the day that we saw the other boat sink? Were you on that boat with me?
No, but you were texting me that day. Yeah, and you sent me pictures. I remember that.
So you weren't there? I just
feel
like you were there.
No, I wasn't there. I was with you in spirit, probably.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I was
anything
on this
boat related.
Giant
right.
yacht, and there was this other boat trying to pull this other boat out of the shore, and they were like, this boat's going to sink.
Yeah.
Phil mm-hmm. Hurst was like, that boat's going to sink. And I was like, no way. So I started filming it. Sure enough, like, the boat sank. And then I put it on my TikTok. And it has, like, millions of views now. It's, like, my biggest TikTok.
Yeah.
And people are like, stupid millennials just filming and not helping. I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Jump in and save
all these keyboard captains on the internet. And
ooh, keyboard captains. That's a good.
All these boaters. On, you know, online boaters.
Are you trying to be a captain? Like, do you want to do that?
I don't know if you know this, but I play country music for a living. So,
well,
I don't think I have time to be a captain.
I think you could do that, like, 2 months out of the year.
It'd be fun. I've thought about going to get my captain's license.
But you can't drink.
Yeah, or do other recreational activities.
Oh. They test you for that?
Yeah, you have to drug test for
what?
The Coast Guard. Yeah.
That's very interesting. But every captain I know is just, like, living their best life whenever
absolutely.
They're... Like, they're...
It's a tough... Man, but the whole fishing world, it's a serious ball game, man. It's hard. It's hours. It's very demanding. You know, you got to love it.
I think you need to get really, really famous.
And own my own boat.
That's
the plan.
And then I could go on the boat whenever I wanted to do.
Okay.
I would like that.
You got it.
I just have one request, and that's it. Anyway, I just also want to say that I think your band right now is really great.
Thank you.
Do you guys run tracks?
We do. We run tracks.
I want to start running a few little padding tracks. Like, after I saw you at Fry Height, I was like, that's a good amount of tracks.
Yeah, we getting technical here, but the way we do it is it's run off of a Roland drum pad. So you got four outs, mm-hmm. and then each out has two lines coming off. So I'm thinking, like, click, and then you got instruments, percussion, and then band track. So you get, and then each one of those has individual, like, on the band channel, mm-hmm. which is a two-track stereo left right, but coming down that track you'll have multiple instruments, so keys, B3, you know,
right? That's what I want in
guitars.
My tracks.
Yeah. So, and then, but it's broken up into three. So it's percussion, band, and vocals. So you got three faders you can mix with out front. But
okay, that's really interesting. So how many channels is your, like, is your ear rig? I don't think I have enough inputs. Is my thing.
Altogether, I think we're right at
94.
No. I think we're, like, at 22 tracks.
Oh, okay.
21, maybe.
Okay. That's not bad.
21 channels.
We're just kind of maxed out of channels. I think mm-hmm. that's our problem with tracks. We can't put any tracks because we're maxed out on channels.
How are you maxed out on channels?
Well, I got three singers. I got a steel player. We got three vocals across the front.
So you got 32 channels?
And then I also have, but I only have 16 sends. Is everyone on this podcast, everyone's quitting. They're like, we hated them. But I picture people, because a lot of bands listen to this
there's
while they're writing.
Out there,
and yeah. they're like, finally, we're talking about things that matter.
Man.
Like, we have a 32-channel mixer, but we only have 16 front of house sends, right?
Okay.
So
and are you split? Oh, because you're split using the other 16 for your monitor side?
Yes. So that we got our talk back and everything. But that's why things aren't one-to-one, which gets complicated.
Yeah.
But
we're
I
one-to-one
just need,
for the most part.
I really need to just buy another. But the thing is,
Paul, I'll sell you an M32.
Okay. Hold on.
You want to?
I need it already to come in the rack and already be set up.
Yeah.
And like, I need it to be clean, and I need it to come with like a case of whiskey and a pumpkin spice latte and a boat ride.
Yes. Yes.
And
no, you should. If you can run two consoles, that's the way to go. That's what we do.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But I don't have big consoles. Everything's rack mounted for me. So okay. I have an M32C,
yeah.
which is the big console is just in a rack mount iPad.
Mm. Okay.
And then the stage box, of course. And then I split off. I'm actually doing a hard split, like the whole tails,
yeah.
you know.
We do that too.
To either another console that we have. But we're actually just about to change it and start using Cat5 AES50 to go to another brain. So we'll basically be using one stage box, but with two brains, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
One brain for monitor side and another for front of house.
No, that's great. I think that makes a lot of sense, because that's where we get stuck, and it's like, I can't really add anything because we're just limited with what we can do. But I bought all the stuff, like, and then COVID hit. Like, I bought it, like, and so,
yeah.
like, uh-oh. And then I sold my big board, which was Stoney's old board. I can't remember who bought it. No, actually, I gave it to my old sound
that
guy,
X32
Jose.
You had? You're not running
yeah.
that anymore?
I run the rack.
Oh, okay. Yep.
What is that? MX32?
The X32 rack.
X32
rack.
Guys, listen,
yeah.
I know what
it's
I'm talking
about. It's only 16 channels.
X32 rack. I put an M in there. Everyone's like, I'm going to get blasted.
And then you have
X32 rack is what I meant.
An additional stage box do you have?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 And that's how we're doing it, and it's fine, but, you know, it's fine.
You're trying to grow up and get some nicer equipment.
I'm trying to get everything that works. Like one of our ear packs, you can't see the channel on the thing.
Are you using Sennheisers? Or
yeah,
sure?
We're using Sennheisers because I had to buy new stuff because AT&T bought all the. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, you know the inner things that we put in our ears. And they have these frequencies, and mine were so old that AT&T had gone and bought up all the frequencies. So, like, my in-ears were actually illegal. Like, if mm-hmm. I got busted, I could have gotten, like, a $10,000 fine.
Yeah.
So I bought all new in-ears, and those packs are $400 a piece.
Do you hear that? Your mom just breaking the...
She's like, yeah, she was born to be a rule breaker.
Yeah,
so anyway, so I got new ear packs.
Well, I'll tell you this much. If you can... They're expensive, but if you can... somehow get them. I switched over to the Shure PSM 900s.
Mm.
And man, what a world of difference.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not. Okay.
I
got a
them.
Good Sweetwater rep. He, I don't know if he actually gives me a deal or if he just, it feels like he's giving me a deal. But anyway, they kind of hook it up. So, I mean, it's time. It's just, I just made a record. So our gear just kind of sucks right now. We need a new trailer really, really, really bad too. So. It's just a long list.
How are you? Tell me about this.
This is
this
not
whole,
your podcast.
This van.
What? This RV?
This RV. Yeah. Sorry.
Do you like it? Do you want to switch a mixer for this?
No.
Okay. I bought this RV used. I love it. It's a Class C. We're already almost out of time, but I'll just tell you that it's awesome because it has bunks. Look at those cute bunks. I will say I need to put another air conditioning unit in it. There is things about it like... But I love it. I love it. It's like way better than a Sprinter van. I took it to get repaired. Like the first time I took it to get it repaired was like $800. And the guy was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, are you kidding me? This is the best day of my life. Like
yeah.
it's really cheap to repair, at least so far.
And been reliable.
Yeah. It tows like a dream. It has an 8,000 pound towing capacity. So it tows like better than any van I've ever owned.
Man, what else do you need?
It has a microwave. Well, I feel really bad because, like, who was in here the day? Like, Jared Morris and, like, Josh Greider were in here and the generator wasn't working. And I didn't realize you could just, like, plug it into my house and, like, it's running off of that right now. So like,
off of a wall plug?
It's running off a wall plug, which I think you're not supposed to do as long. But I went on the Reddit forums and I think it's fine.
That's what I do with mine a lot.
Yeah, as long as you're not, like, turning on the microwave.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you. We learned that the other day.
But your Sprinter van's awesome. You got John Wolf's.
No. We're going to maybe buy it. Mike and the Moon Pies, or Silverado, Mike ended up with his old van.
Well, what was the one I saw the other day?
Mine is, it's a similar build out, but.
Oh.
Yeah, I've had mine for 2 years now.
I thought that was John's.
No, I bought mine in Nashville.
I love your Sprinter van.
Thank you.
It's got colors, like you can change the
color.
Yeah,
it's got like the discos in the.
It's got the I'm in my 20s. Like features, like this has none of that. Mine's like I have a phone charger and like a good blanket and like an ice chest cooler, and that's about as cool as it gets in
here.
Well,
but it's spacious. I mean, I like it.
Yeah, when you put that slide out, it's great.
Yeah.
I can't believe that me and Clay Hollis just had a gear nerd episode. Like, who would have thought? Like, one of my best friends.
Well, what else
friends?
Do you want to talk about?
No. I mean, we did it. We're already over time. I just thought that we were, you know, I was like, Clay's going to come talk so much trash about me as a person. And then we were talking about, I'm proud of us. Like, look at us being adults talking about our gear.
I feel like nobody wants to hear about that, though.
About the gear?
Our gear.
There's going to be like one person that reaches out and is like, thank you so much for finally talking about gear.
Yeah.
But if you have one more thing you want to say, don't say it.
What?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something bad about me.
No, okay. I don't. You know me. I do have to say, like, I am drained right now. Like, I'm you know me. I'm actually normally a little bit more lively, but.
I thought you were fantastic.
Really?
Don't overthink it. Okay. It was a really good.
People are going to see this and think, God dang, man, that Clay guy is boring.
No, I. What he's saying is, if you want to be on The Bachelor, on the Texas edition of The Bachelor, he's going to have a lot more pep in his step.
Yeah.
I get it.
Sign me up.
Listen, I'm tired too. I think it was a great episode, Kyle. Kyle's like, you guys sucked. No, well, I'm just kidding. My dog loves you, and I love you, and
look
I'm such a
dog.
Fan of your singing and your live shows. You guys got to go check out a Clay Hollis show. His band is great. You are such a great singer, great entertainer.
Thank you.
Terribly ugly to look at, unfortunately.
I got a question. I know this is not, I'm not, shouldn't be asking questions, but on the topic of you saying I'm a good performer, do you ever feel, or have you noticed with me personally, that people say, wow, he's different on stage versus when just personally hanging out with him? Because everyone thinks I am completely 180 different, which in my own personal opinion, I kind of like flip a switch and I kind of put on that hat of like, hey, I'm performing kind of thing. And when I come off, like, you know me, like just hanging out, I'm very reserved and, you know, kind of. Mm-hmm. So I was just curious, do you relate to that in any way? Like, do you feel like you're the same person you are on stage as you off stage?
Interesting. Well, I like to have fun on stage and like jump around and dance around and stuff.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the more that I'm on stage and I'm like, do people think that I'm too old to be doing this? like, should I be jumping?
Why
like
not?
I jump sometimes. I don't know. I guess I've always known you as both. And I think that you have to be two different people kind of. And not in a bad way. Just in a sense of you can't be the performer all the time. You will literally die.
Well, I think I found out that someone told me that I'm autistic. So obviously I'm on the spectrum somehow. If I'm doing music, I think we all are at some capacity probably on a spectrum somewhere.
Yeah. No, for sure. Let me see how I can say this about you.
Come on, let me have it.
I think you are an artist, like, in the sense of what people think that an artist is. Like, you are a lot of those things. Like, you love to be that person. And so do I. So I can say that about you. Mm. Like, when I'm on stage and I'm having a great show, you can tell that I love that moment.
Yeah,
and I live
absolutely.
For that moment. And I feel like you're that way too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it takes a really kind of crazy person to kind of do everything that we do to get that one moment. Like, you have to be a little bit, not crazy, but you have to be just a little bit different than everyone else. But I love you off the stage. You're one of my best friends. And
thank you.
Whether you like it or not.
Love you too. Yeah.
And I enjoy, and you're going to get a yacht someday, and then your brother's going to have a plane, and then I'm going to have a nice car, and we're going to have it all.
And yeah. And we'll just say, hey, you and Paul, can you guys come? Can my brother's going to fly you guys down to the boat. Can you guys want to go fishing or something?
That's a dream. Paul's going to be a skydiving instructor.
We're all going to be retired.
We're just going to jump off the plane.
I'm trying to retire like soon, man.
Me too. Well, like. let's get to work. Go get some rest. I'm going to get some rest. I love you. You're my
love
favorite.
You. Thank you so much.
PlayHollis.com.